Hi, I'm Matt Shepard.
And I'm Chad Shepard. Coming up on this edition of Shep Shower and Shave, the Red Wings add veteran defenseman Trevor Daley. We'll break down the signing.
We're brought to you by Northwestern Tech, which is heating and cooling. It's an HVAC school that gives you the best opportunity for the best training and the best opportunity to find a job. And that's really important in today's day and age. Some call Northwestern Tech the HVAC experts, and they are. Get trained, get certified, get into the field in only 10 and a half months. You can do that by going to their website, northwesterntech.edu, or call them today at 248-358-4006. And we're also brought to you by Fifth Avenue in Royal Oak. You want a place to watch a game? There's no better place than Fifth Avenue. 40 HD TVs, a 14-foot HD projection screen, and their one-of-a-kind sportsbook viewing area. Personally, I love the patio. It's out there. Half-off wine, specialty cocktails, food specials on Thursdays. That's at Fifth Avenue. Join them during the summer on the patio all summer long. So Trevor Daley. The latest Red Wing. He's 33. He's a left-handed shot. Is he a one or a two? Is he a three or a four in terms of defenseman? Here's what the public opinion in Detroit has been. My God, why are we signing another aged defenseman instead of going young? My response to all those people, there could be a lot of different things. There were guys, we get caught up in age, don't we, Chad? And we really do. I mean, there were guys like Martin St. Louis who was relatively productive, even at age 35. Jerome McGinley at age 36. Pavel Datsyuk at age 35. At what point do you think a guy is too old, number one? And number two, how else are you going to improve this team's defense?
Well, the age thing's an interesting question. I think, would you say Nick Cronwall's too old? Because he's going to be a key piece in the Red Wings' defense this year, like it or not. Age, I think, is less important than ability and the way a guy moves, the way a guy plays the game. Trevor Daley still does the things that make Trevor Daley good, make him who he is, separate him as a defenseman from his peers throughout the rest of the league.
And what Detroit needs.
That's exactly it. The veterans that Detroit has might be similar in age, but that's really the only area they're similar to Trevor Daley, other than experience, maybe Stanley Cup wins for a guy like Cronwall, because Daley has two. He moves the puck. He plays fast. He's a 200-foot player, which means he'll back check for you if he takes an offensive chance. Mm-hmm. He can play power play minutes for you in an area that the Red Wings really don't have a lot of power play capable defensemen right now. I think Danny DeKeyser led them in power play points in the past years.
I thought it was Mike Green.
Excuse me. Thank you. It's Mike Green, yeah. And then it's Nicholas Cronwall after that, and it's not really that close in terms of 3 and 4, which means they don't have the depth of help on the blue line to help their power play that they in a way that they want to. Trevor Daley brings a couple of those things.
Yeah, but you and I always talk about defensemen, and I think people in general do. They look at first line, second line, third line D, okay? Pairings, if you will. Lines are for forwards. Is Trevor Daley better than a third-pairing defenseman
yes.
on any other team than Detroit?
Well, any other team. I don't know. You don't have to worry about the roster for any other team. He's going to have to do more for you than what he did for Pittsburgh.
Okay, is he capable of doing that?
Yes, I think he is.
Why?
Because his usage has always suggested that he can play between 20 and 22 minutes a night. He can play more minutes. He's better than, in terms of offensive production, than some of the guys that were also available at the time, like a Dan Girardi. So you paid him a touch more, but it's in the tens of millions, or it's in the hundreds of thousands, or the tens of thousands, not in the tens of millions.
Do you like the third year? I'm not sure. I can't say third year.
I don't think it's ideal.
Okay.
And I think at age 36, but what could be worse? You know what I mean? You're going to have – what are you going to do? Replace Nicholas Cronwall in a couple years with a similar version? Unless he loses a leg, it's not going to be any – he's not going to be any more immobile. So that's not the outlet that you want to have when you're building something, but it's a bridge contract. That's what it is. It's Trevor Daley's going to, A, be a guy who we know from a character and competitive standpoint fits with our locker room, fits the veteran leadership voice that we've established here. B, he's going to help teach some of these young defensemen and not begrudge them, even though they might be taking his job one day. And C, he's the perfect guy to create a faster, more mobile back end for us, which prepares our forwards to play with the guys that we want having coming up in the future. We want Saiarvi to play this way. We want Joey Hicketts to play this way. We want, if those guys even become regular everyday NHL players, we want Dennis Chalowski to become this way eventually. Players like that, and if they can learn from Daly instead of learning from guys who simply don't move well. Jonathan Erickson doesn't move well. Nick Cronwall, I love, but he's had so many surgeries. The guy's a warrior that he's playing on one leg, but he right. doesn't move well. Let Trevor Daly do some of these things, teach these defensemen a little bit, and bring a bit of stability to an area that really doesn't have it. And yeah, you might be wishing that you didn't give him a third year 2 years from now, but that's a small price to pay, I think, that for the security that he brings.
Bottom line is, this team had all kinds of issues trying to get the puck out of their own zone. Was that not the biggest problem they had last year?
Trevor Daly can pick the puck up at the bottom of your circles and skate it to the top of their circles before waiting to set something up. Right. The Red Wings don't have another defenseman on this roster who's capable of that.
That's the biggest issue, I think. While people are focusing on, oh, I can't believe we signed Trevor Daly, how about the fact that they don't have anybody who can do what he does? And it used to be their specialty. In addition to that, and I think this is something that they've lacked greatly. Last year, my biggest issue with the Red Wings, their turnovers at their blue line and the opponent's blue line, okay? But in addition to that, their inability to get out of their own zone. It was a constant, pinball machine in their own zone where they would spend an entire shift just to get it out of their zone. Then by the time they're done, the other team, the next line comes on, the next set of defensemen comes on, and they're trying to do the same damn thing, because all you've done is either ice the puck or flipped it into the opponent's zone so you can get off the ice, get rested, get a new group on. That group then is on the defensive right away. I think Daly allows you to push the pace, push the puck a little bit more. It looks like he's going to be paired with Danny DeKeyser, which I suppose is fine. The thing that concerns me is Jeff Blashill has suggested, too, that Nicholas Cromwell and Mike Green are going to play together. And that tells me that his third pairing defenseman includes Nick Jensen, who I think is their best defenseman.
I think it should be Green and Jensen in the top pair. I would agree with you. And then put DeKeyser on the second pair with Trevor Daly. Here's a couple other things.
Then Cromwell and Erickson on the third, if that's what you want, even though that's not what I want.
It just feels shitty because it feels like a punt. It feels like you're punting on that. Like, oh, please, God, keep your fingers crossed every time they're both out there that the other team doesn't score.
Neither one is mobile enough.
Get a bad matchup.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Here's what I'd like to make known about Trevor Daly. First of all, he does have a no-trade clause. That's going to be significant at some point, I think, throughout this contract. Maybe the third year is a modified no trade, but the first 2 years he has no trade clause. He makes $4 million this next year, then 3.3, then 2.2. The cap hit, I believe, is 3.13 million,
right.
A touch below where he was projected to get. So the Red Wings did not overspend really necessarily, despite what people might think. They gave him a third year, and that was the chip that was necessary to lure him to Detroit.
Right.
Dan
Girardi got a 2-year deal. Trevor Daly got a 3-year deal. In order for Detroit to lure this type of puck-moving defenseman here, they had to give him the 3rd year. I don't have an issue with that. I really don't. I have a bigger issue with the fact that Detroit has not been able to develop somebody in the minors who can do what he does. Not that he can do it as effectively, but doing what he does right now. You mentioned Joe Hicketts. You can bring in Robbie Russo as well. Those are the two guys. Obviously, Saiarvi down the line, but he's not ready next year. Those are the two guys that I suppose people could make a case for to try and be a Red Wing next year. Now, suddenly, you have a very crowded blue line. A ton of guys, including Luke Witkowski, who is a defenseman at Western Michigan, was Danny DeKeyser's partner at Western Michigan, was Danny DeKeyser's roommate at Western Michigan, and now might be better off trying to make this team as a fourth-line guy. I'm not sure Detroit has a number one pairing. That's the problem Red Wing fans have right now overall. He doesn't make a number one pairing on this team. They are still void of that, and they're spending $9 million to do it. I would remind Red Wing fans this. There wasn't anybody out there who is in free agency that you could have grasped to give yourself a number one free agency or number one pairing. And lastly, there's nobody at Grand Rapids, even though they won the Calder Trophy, I give them a ton of Calder Cup, I give them a ton of credit for that. There's nobody there ready to ascend to the big league team that is going to be that much of a difference maker.
I would agree, and I think there's a couple other reasons why this Trevor Daley signing is a positive thing. And I kind of started into it before we changed topics a little bit. The Red Wings' power play, is no secret, has been absolutely abysmal the last couple seasons in particular. I believe that's why they brought in Todd Nelson originally before he ended up going down to coach Grand Rapids, and I could be wrong about that. And they brought in assistants on previous regimes, including Tony Granato and other people whose focus was supposed to be to come in and fix that ailing power play, which if you look at the numbers, and there's a great breakdown of this on theathletic.com, the new site launched by or the Detroit chapter of which is launched by Craig Custance, and Tyler Dello wrote this, the Red Wings don't produce shots on the power play. And since Datsyuk has been since Datsyuk's gone back to Russia to play in the KHL, they are among the worst teams in the league in goals for and shots for 60 minutes on the power play. Not only their first unit, but their second unit, which is also an interesting thing to measure. Mm. Now, a lot of teams, as this article states, don't expect a lot from their second power play unit. And the Red Wings are kind of right in there in terms of being league average, not expecting a ton from that. Mm-hmm. But they're in among the bottom three or four teams, or even worse, in that first ranking power play units. The league averages 7.3 goals per 60 and 54.5 shots per 60 while you're on your first power play unit. The Red Wings, 4.4 goals per 60, 43.6 shots per 60. So more than or almost a dozen fewer shots per 60 minutes when they're on the power play. It basically cost them about a dozen goals last year that may have even been more to make up in previous years. They might have even lost more than in previous years. But here's the most interesting thing to me about Trevor Daley that's brought up. He's going to be the fifth highest paid Red Wing defenseman. He's going to be more valuable than probably anybody on that blue line, with the possible exception of maybe one other body. And yet Mike Green, Danny DeKeyser, Nick Cronwall, and Jonathan Erickson will all make more than him.
Wow.
So in this third year of this deal, when he's still at a 3.16 cap hit, and people are saying, why did we sign this 36-year-old Daley? Hey, guess what? Jonathan Erickson's still making more than a mil more than him. Blame that bad contract. This is a good, smart, and shrewd signing by Ken Holland.
Would you have rather seen Detroit try to pursue Brendan Smith, who they traded to the Rangers for a third-round pick? He's 28, ended up signing a four-year deal worth about $17.5 million with the Blue Shirts and had a cap hit of slightly above $4 million. I think he's another guy who can lug the puck. I think he got a bad deal here in Detroit. I don't think people gave him enough time to grow. Do you think that would have been a better maneuver on the part of Detroit than going after an elder statesman, if you will?
No, I think a change of pace or a change of scenery was good for everybody involved there. And part of the reason is, like you said, he didn't get the chance or hadn't earned the trust from the – it's a two-way street, right? Yeah. We don't make it seem like everyone just screwed him over. He didn't earn the trust from the coaching staff, and he wasn't necessarily given the constant benefit of the doubt that other players might be given from either fans or management or whatever else in this city. I still think he can be a productive NHL player, and obviously the Rangers do, or they wouldn't have signed him to, I believe, what was a four-year deal. But I don't think that bringing him back, he wouldn't have played any differently, and he wouldn't have been treated any differently by management. So if you're looking for Brendan Smith to do what Trevor Daley does and or vice versa, why not just to get the guy that you know from a competitive and character standpoint and meshes really well with your locker room and your guy and a fresh change of pace, somebody who's – it's almost like a honeymoon period, right? He's coming off that Stanley Cup. And that's not to knock or diminish or say anything negative about the character or competitiveness of Brendan Smith, because I don't know him in a way where I feel like I could say that. What I do mean is that there might be some bad blood on either end, where Blashill feels he's pressured to play the guy more, or Brendan Smith feels that – Blash is only playing me because the management's making him, and you begrudge each other a little bit in that sense, and it's kind of difficult to get out of the human element.
Jeff Blashill said he can play the left side or the right side. How many other guys do they have who can do that?
So that Trevor Daley can do that? Sorry.
And how important is that, do you think?
I think that's huge, because the Red Wings for a long time have been a team that doesn't have enough right-handed shots on this blue line, so that Trevor Daley's comfortable playing either side.
But he's a left-handed shot.
Correct, but playing that right point is not an easy thing is not an easy thing for a right-handed shot to do in terms of being able to play the puck off the wall the same way and everything like that. Like, you get it off the wall and it's right on your forehand, but you got to shovel it back in the corner. You have to go across your body and across their body. If you want to move it across the blue line, you need to pivot your feet first, and that's why they like the left-handed shot, because you can get a feed. If you're a left-handed shot on the right point, you can get a feed from the other side and get a one-timer, or get a cross-ice shot and get a one-timer. And if it feeds up to you from the near side, it's immediately on your forehand. You're walking to the middle of the ice, or you bank it right back off in the corner. So there are just more beneficial angles to play from that perspective. But if Trevor Daly can play the right side with the left shot, that's good for the Red Wings. And if he has to play the left side, the fact that that's not a detriment to him is better, I think. So to me, it adds to what we've talked about repeatedly, perhaps the most attractive selling point for him on this whole signing, which is that he brings something particularly to the offensive end, which is most recognizable on the power play, that the Red Wings don't have. His being able to play either side increases his power play attractiveness for me. If nothing else, you can leave him back there if you need to be in a four forward, one defenseman situation, and understand that he's not going to get caught with his handedness having to be on one point. Let the forward take what's more comfortable or natural for them, and Trevor Daly can adjust accordingly. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Why do you think people have such a problem with Trevor Daly signing then? I mean, if he adds all that, something that not many players on this team can do, play both sides of the point, play both sides of the point on a power play, lug the puck, carry it 200 feet, he's responsible defensively, right? I don't think he's ever going to win a Norris Trophy, especially at the age of 33, but the bottom line is he's not a detriment defensively. Why in the world do people have an issue with the signing in general, do you think, then?
I think they see age, which is not
right.
A unique problem on this Red Wings thing. And if you look across town at the Tigers, it's not a unique problem with just that organization. I think the Detroit fans see a lot of aging stars making a ton of money, not winning a lot of games in multiple teams. Erickson's overpaid. Cronwall is going to make more this year than he's worth. I don't know if you can use the term overpaid given what he's done and contributed, but he fits there. There's other guys who have not lived up to the billing or got extensions and people feel have mailed it in or not performed as well thereafter. You've had players walk away for bigger deals like Sue in Miami and Scherzer in Washington. So I think Detroit fans are a little bit jaded about that kind of thing, and they're skeptical when they see a 33-year-old, signing a 3-year deal for bigger money when he just came from a winning situation. They feel like, all right, you're not going to get us again. You're not going to use us again for your payday and let our team be bad as a result of that sabotage. I think they're very conscious of the age number, and as a result of that, they're very skeptical to believe that you can really be a help to us.
Let's just cut right to it. It's because Ken Holland made the signing. That's the issue people have with him. Well, no, I'm serious.
No, you're right. Okay, but mine might fit in a smaller vein into yours because they're frustrated with these Ken Holland aging contract. I mean, this is the theme, right? My point in saying that, I guess, is that I think there are people out there that Ken Holland could have signed that would have made people a little bit happier. You know, it's not like anybody that he signed they guaranteed would have been upset with, but you're 100% correct in saying that because there was so much speculation about him and his job and this was the first thing they did, the opening hours of free agency, yeah, it was probably going to get attacked no matter what.
Yeah, I don't compare him to anybody per se on this roster right now. I look at what he can do that not many on this roster have shown the capability to do and how it addresses the need, and I think that's where they went. I don't like necessarily the way Ken Holland has been able to build this hockey team, so don't take it the wrong way. But when he does something to address a need and does it for, I think, a decent amount of money that doesn't cripple you cap-wise, I think that's a positive. As long as certain guys are – I would have a bigger problem if Detroit went about and got another – got a guy who couldn't do what Trevor Daly did and was younger. I don't look at the age thing. I see guys, you see guys, who are consistently being productive even in their later years. Yammer Yager's a great example right now. Guy was an all-star last year, for crying out loud.
Right. He just got passed up, basically,
right,
by the Panthers.
So,
I think what you said is key. You don't look at the age thing. You don't look at the age thing right now. What people look at is what the age is going to be at the end of that deal and how much money they're making until then. Basically, once you become immobile or no longer of service to us, how much are you going to impede us from going to find your replacement? That's what fans want to think of it as.
Yeah. Instead, what they should be looking at it like, you know what? This guy's affordable. This guy does something nobody else on this team can do. But they want a one or a two because Detroit doesn't have one. And they don't have one with Daly
and
either.
Frankly, hasn't had one since Nick Lidstrom left.
Correct. So that's what they want. They weren't going to get anybody out there, Chad. And they can't. They don't have anybody within their system who's ready to take those reins. And I don't think they have anybody in their system right now, period. Okay? So you go out there, you make yourself better. Here's the argument that I got from social media. What's the point? He's not going to make them a playoff team better. Here's the point. It does improve the back end, which was a severe weakness of this team. In order for this team to make the postseason, get back to its winning ways, guys like Justin Abdelkader is going to have to be better. Danny DeKeyser is going to have to be better. Dylan Larkin is going to have to be better. Tatar and Nyquist are going to have to be better. Riley Sheahan can't score two goals in a season and have a minus 20-plus among the worst in the NHL. That's what it's going to require. Trevor Daly's not coming in. Don't fool yourself. Trevor Daly's not coming in here to be a savior. Trevor Daly's coming in to fix something that is partially broken, but more importantly, the guys who are going to make this team great again, if you will, in order for this team to be halfway decent again, you're going to have it's no different than the Pistons, Chad. You're going to have guys participate or play at a high level and be productive, something that they couldn't do a year ago. I want you to think about this for a second. When you looked at the Red Wings last year and you saw their brutal numbers, I mean, it's almost like the perfect storm, isn't it? It was almost as if all these guys had terrible years at the same time. Can that ever happen again? Gus Nyquist can't score 12 goals again next year and expect Detroit to make the playoffs. Franz Nielsen cannot be a minus 19. He was brought in here to be better than that. Mike Green can't be a minus 20. Dylan Larkin can't be a minus 28, right? Riley Sheahan can't be a minus 29. And Danny DeKeyser a minus 22. If you're going to get that, then it doesn't matter whether you sign Trevor Daly or bring back Nick Lidstrom. It's not going to happen.
Trevor Daly's duct tape right now. He's not a rebuild. He's not fixing. He's not a new part. He's duct tape for something that's on its way down. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's dead on. I mean, but that's the problem people have with it. If you agree and subscribe to that theory, as long as it's duct tape, they want a rebuild. Saying rebuild is a hell of a lot more difficult, easier than doing it. And you're not going to be able to rebuild a team in 1 year. And you're not going to be able to do it with free agencies. It has to be players within the system. Shep Shower and Shave is brought to you by Fifth Avenue, always a premier destination in Royal Oak, with over 36 cold beers on tap. Great food, drink specials, a kitchen that is open until 2 a.m., a 14-foot HD projection screen television, over 40 HD TVs. Check out their patio. They've got outstanding deals going on. We invite you to come out and enjoy whatever game you may be watching. Wings, Pistons, Tigers, Lions, college football, college hoops, whatever it may be, Fifth Avenue in Royal Oak is the destination site. Also, if you're looking for a new career, individuals are entering the HVAC field. They're seeing their potential pay go way up. The problem is there's not enough of them. There's heating and cooling employers who are desperate for trained technicians. How do you get it? You get it at Northwestern Tech. HVAC is all they teach. They've perfected their hands-on program for over 38 years. And right now, you can get in there, you can get a degree, you can get into the field in only 10 and a half months. Go to northwesterntech.edu or call them at 248-358-4006.